Well, good morning. It's good to be with you today, having this opportunity on this Palm Sunday to be able to be spending time together in God's Word. So that is the series that has been carrying us through Lent and into this Holy Week. And it's our focus today around the words that you just heard read. John chapter 16, verse 33, where Jesus says, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, to the beginning of this most holy week, to the promise of your presence, to the gift of your Son, our Savior, Jesus, and for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit, alive in us today the truth of your word, helping us to trust in Jesus' words, to know that yes, in this world we have trouble, we have things working against us, and yet we have a peace that surpasses all human understanding, allowing us to take heart, knowing that Jesus has overcome the world. Help us to trust these words. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Well, to understand the significance of these words, words that Jesus speaks in the upper room of Holy Week on that, what we refer to as Maundy Thursday, on that night when he is led away to be arrested and soon to be crucified. He speaks these words. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. Yes, it's true. In the world you will have trouble, but take heart because I have overcome the world. To understand the significance of Jesus' words, it's important for us to understand the significance of this week, this holy week. It begins with Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And it's the result of Jesus saying things that must happen. I must go to Jerusalem. I must suffer at the hands of men. I must be killed. And on the third day, I must rise again. You see, the cross and the empty tomb, they were Jesus' goal all along. It's why he said the things that are necessary. I must go to Jerusalem. I must suffer. Why? Because I must die for the sins of the world and on the third day rise again victorious. Victorious over things like sin and death and the power of the devil. Now, if it's true, and it is true, then consider for a moment what A.J. Swoboda says in his book, A Glorious Dark. He writes, "Underneath every story of death and darkness and doubt is hidden a flow of God's resurrection and power and glory, which almost nobody chooses to see, which some choose not to believe." Let me read that again. "Underneath every story of death and darkness and doubt is hidden a flow of God's resurrection and power and glory, which almost nobody chooses to see." My question is this: why is it so hard, so difficult for us at times to see through the death and the darkness and the doubt, and to see the resurrection and the power and the glory that are ours in Christ Jesus? You see, this is what Jesus wants us to see. It's why he says, "I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace." Yes, it's true, in this world you will have trouble. Yes, it's true, there are things in this world working against us. But take heart, Jesus says, "I have overcome the world." Now, one has to love the way that God chooses for salvation to come into the world. first. As a tiny little baby, wrapped in swaddling cloths and placed in a manger. Now, I want you to hold on to that image for a moment because we're going to come back to it. But then consider 33 years later, salvation is riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. And the people are crying out, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We call this day Palm Sunday. And it's because of the palms, the branches that the people were laying out on the road as Jesus passes by. And so kids, if you have your palm branches, can you just take a hold of them again? Like you were doing earlier, just give them a wave, wave them around. If somebody's hot next to you, just give them a little fan, right? There you go. Now what I don't want us to miss, you can put your palm branches down for a moment. What I don't want you to miss is what else is going on. Because on this particular Sunday, in this particular year of our Lord's death, with the Passover celebration on Thursday of the week, it meant that Sunday would be what is referred to as Lamb Selection Day. It's the day that the lambs would have been selected to be offered for the Passover meal. Now, what we are told from history is that when selecting a lamb to be offered for sacrifice, a shepherd would often take that lamb, wrap it in swaddling cloths, and place it in a stone manger to protect it. Does that sound familiar at all? And Mary took her baby, she wrapped him in swaddling cloth, and where did she place him? In a manger. I've told you these things, Jesus says, so that in me you may have peace. In this world, yes, you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. What does Jesus say that he has to offer to us? In me, you have what? Peace. You can say it, peace. Have you ever noticed, like, peace, it's even peaceful to say peace. I don't know about you, but when I see this picture of this tiny little lamb laying in the grass, it makes me think of peace. In fact, it reminds me of Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pasture. He makes it possible for me to be at peace, even in the midst of a world filled at times with chaos. I've told you these things so that in me, Jesus says, you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have what? I've overcome the world. What I don't want us to miss here is that peace comes at a cost. It's not just peace that Jesus offers us, but it is the assurance that he has overcome the things of the world. Now, when I think of Jesus as an overcomer, I have a different image in my mind. I have something that looks like this. It's a picture of the lion of the tribe of Judah. And why is this important? Well, I believe it's important because of this. You see, in Jesus is gracious. Would you agree with that? Yes. But even though Jesus is gracious, he is also not weak. Jesus is merciful. Would you agree with that? Yes. But even though Jesus is merciful, he's also not to be messed with. And I say this in the face of things that are working against us. Things like sin and the effects of sin, along with death, death and the devil. And it's why, in this week of Holy Week, I understand why we want to skip ahead to Maundy Thursday and to Good Friday on our way to Easter Sunday. But in doing so, have you ever noticed that sometimes we skip past a few other stories that are recorded for us in Holy Week? And one of those stories is Jesus cleansing the temple. If you're familiar with that story, Jesus is turning over tables. And some don't like to think about this story because they're like, oh, well, that's not my Jesus. I don't want to think about Jesus that way. And I get it. But I think we're missing something really important. In his book, King's Cross, Timothy Keller explains what is going on when Jesus is cleansing the temple. He explains it this way. He says, when you stepped inside of the temple door, the first area that you would come to is the court of the Gentiles or the nations. This was the only parts where the non-Jews were allowed. It was the biggest section of the temple, and you had to go through to get to the rest. And all of the business operations of the temple were set up there, and what an operation it was. Jesus says, my house will be called a house of prayer for all the nations. That is, not just for the Jews, but Jews and Gentiles, all people. It was popularly believed that when the Messiah showed up, he would purge the temple of foreigners, but instead, here is Jesus clearing the temple for the Gentiles, acting as their advocate, our advocate. But what he was doing was even more subversive. You see, the story of the temple starts all the way back in the Garden of Eden. The primal garden was a sanctuary. It was the place where the presence of God dwelled. It was a paradise because death, deformity, evil, and perfection cannot coexist with God's presence. In the presence of God, there is shalom. There is peace. But when the first human beings decided to build their lives on other things beside God, to let other things beside God give them their ultimate meaning and significance, paradise was lost. And so as Jesus makes his way into Jerusalem on Holy Week, as he makes his way to the cross and to the empty tomb, it is Jesus' plan to reverse the things that was lost. And it's important for us then to remember that Jesus is both. He is both lion and lamb. Andrew Wilson, in his book Incomparable, says it this way. He says, to me, the powerful thing about the vision of the lion and the lamb is the fact that Jesus is both. And it's when you see that the roaring God of Amos, mighty to save, came to earth as the Lamb of God, that you begin to understand how wonderful grace really is. Jesus, as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, had all the power and the kingly strength at his disposal, and yet he chose to become the lamb that was slain. Think about that for a moment. It's what Pastor John talked about this past Wednesday when he looked at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Where it says that God made him, Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Do not miss what we are being told here. Do not miss what Jesus has done for us, because it means this. It means that in Jesus, we have infinite majesty. And yet in Jesus at the same time we have complete humility. It means in Jesus we have perfect justice, and yet at the same time in Jesus we have boundless grace. It means in Jesus we have absolute sovereignty, and yet at the same time utter submission. Now, in light of each of these things that are true in and through Christ Jesus, there's one more thing that's true that I don't want us to miss today, and it's this. That Jesus, both lion and lamb, it is Jesus who loves us to the end. Our words for today in John chapter 16, they're part of this narrative that John records, what's called the upper room discourse, the words that Jesus speaks to his disciples on that Maundy Thursday. And it begins in John chapter 13, and it begins with John telling us this, that Jesus loved us to the end. Consider what this means. Christ loved his own all the way through death itself. What must that mean for you? It means first that your future is secure. It means if you are his, then heaven and relief is coming. But it also means that he will love you. You personally to the end. Meaning not only is your future secure on the basis of his death, but it also means that your present is also secure. Dear friends in Christ, this is what I want us to be holding on to today. It's why Jesus says, I have told you these things. And by these things, it includes Jesus' assurance that he loves us to the end, so that in me, Jesus says, you may have peace. A peace with God. A peace from God. A peace that surpasses all human understanding. A peace that Scripture says will guard and protect our hearts and minds as we trust and live in him. Now Jesus says, yes, it's true. In the world, you will have trouble. It's true that in the world, there are things working against us. But what is more true, Jesus says, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Dear friends in Christ, as we enter into this Holy Week, may we trust in these words of Jesus. May we trust them to be true in our lives, and not just for our future, but for the here and the now. To him alone be praise, glory, and honor, and all of God's people said, amen. I have two questions for us to carry with us into this week. The first is this. Is there someone you know who is in need of some peace in his or her life? First, what I'd like you to do is consider how can you be praying for them. And then second, is there a way for you to reach out to them and maybe even come alongside of them? And then second, is there something in your life that is working against you? And then trusting that Jesus has indeed overcome the world, how can you face that situation in a new way? That is, with a sense of hope and with God's gift of peace.